From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Vice President Yusuf Kala wants Indonesia ranking in the Global Innovation Index to increase. Radio Days Asia 2019 calls for radio activists across Asia to discuss the future of radio. Now the news in details. Vice President Yusuf Kala, at the peak of the 24th National Technology Awakening Day, Harteknas, hopes that the ranking of technological developments in Indonesia in the Global Innovation Index would increase. He asserted in Denpasar, Bali on Wednesday that currently Indonesia needs to work hard and to be able to learn by adopting the stages carried out by developed countries. He also said that China only has 2,500 universities compared to Indonesia, totaling 4,500. This means that the number of universities is not relevant to the technology produced. Vice President Kala emphasized that the most important things are intensity, sincerity, focus, and research. He added that in achieving progress, it needs to be faster than before, or greater productivity, leading to better things, more efficient and winning the competition between nations, especially in Asia. Vice President Yusuf Kala affirmed that various innovations would be meaningful if they could be commercialized and marketed so that cooperations between academics and entrepreneurs is necessary. When delivering his remarks at the 24th anniversary commemoration of the National Technology Awakening Day in Denpasar, Bali on Wednesday, Vice President Yusuf Kala emphasized that amidst intense competition, technological innovation and cooperation are needed by various components to be able to be commercialized the results research. Thus, in the 24th Harteknas commemoration, he expects the business community to take responsibility for utilizing the result of research. He also called for the scientists not only to work because they like to work, but also to happily reach findings better than previous results. Besides, Vice President Yusuf Kala asked the campus community to create a futuristic education climate so that students think ahead. To answer challenges from technology development and disruption of media, activists of media from many countries, especially from Asia, attended the conference of Radio Days Asia 2019 in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, on August 27-28, 2019. The conference was also the first time held in Asia. It was attended by tons of speakers from many aspects of radio industries. Founders of Radio Days Europe and Radio Days Asia, Anders Held, in his speech, hopes that Radio Days Asia 2019 can present better programs for listeners.
Radio Days Asia is here today. Now we are joining hands to create this new professional event as a meeting point for radio in Asia and other parts of the world. I am convinced we can learn from each other. We can inspire each other. We can develop our content and businesses to give our listeners even better radio than here.
The Conference of Radio Days Asia 2019 has more than 30 topics divided into two tracks held together. The main topics discussed are the future of radio, the use of social media for radio, the presence of podcasts or fake news, as well as the condition of radio in many countries. The only one speaker from Indonesia at Radio Days Asia 2019 is Kemal Mukhtar, an announcer at one of private radios in Jakarta, and with another announcers, namely Mehdi Barber from Singapore and Ian Nasrun from Malaysia. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. One more innovation, AIS Class B BPPT, invited by Agency for Assessment and Application of Technology, BPPT, was officially launched. The innovation is for the safety of sea transportation. It was immediately inaugurated by Vice President Yusuf Kalla along with Minister of Research and Technology Muhammad Nasir. At the inauguration that was held in the series of the peak event of the 24th National Technology Awakening Day in Denpasar, Bali on Wednesday, Head of BPPT, Hamam Riza, said that this inauguration is an important moment for BPPT to continue to bring the best innovation in various fields of development priority in a bid to realize and advance Indonesia. AIS Innovation has a certificate type approval, which was given by the Transportation Safety Technology Director General of the Sea Transportation at the Ministry of Transportation. He asserted that BPPT will continue to showcase the latest innovations and technologies towards a developed, independent, fair, and prosperous Indonesia. Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries KKP recorded a potential export transaction worth $42.62 million at the Japan International Seafood and Technology Expo JISTE exhibition. Marketing Director of Director General of Strengthening Competitiveness of KKP Marine and Fishery Products, Mahmud, in a press release received in Jakarta on Wednesday, said that Indonesia's participation in the JISTE exhibition is aimed at increasing export of fishery products to Japan and opening new export opportunities of Indonesian fishery products in the international market. He also said that Japan is the second main trading partner as an export destination country for Indonesian fishery products, after the United States, with a value of $676.58 million, or 13.92% of the total value of Indonesia's fishery export in 2018. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita and Minister of Industry and Trade of Mozambique, Ragendra Berta de Sousa, signed preferential trade agreement, which is the first trade one between Indonesia and Mozambique in Africa. The agreement was done in Maputo City, Mozambique, on the sidelines of the biggest trade exhibition in Mozambique on Tuesday. Escorted by Antaranus Agency, Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita, in his remarks in Jakarta on Wednesday, expressed his pride that finally Indonesia has the first trade agreement with the country in Africa, which will be a new historical milestone in expanding market access in African continent. Bank Indonesia BI has estimated Indonesia's economy to increase by nearly 5.5% in 2020, driven by high domestic consumption and investment. Escorted by Antaranus Agency, Bank Indonesia Senior Deputy Governor Destri Damayanti at a working meeting with the House of Representative Budgetary Committee at the Parliament Building in Jakarta on Wednesday explained that Bank Indonesia predicts the economic growth to remain good, triggered by domestic needs, high consumption, and stable investment. He also said that high consumption in Java, Sumatra, Bali, and Nusa Tenggara will boost the national economic growth. The domestic consumption will remain high, which is colored with the celebration of national religious holidays and a notable improvements in export performance. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Building a Digital Economy to Achieve the Target of 2019 Economic Growth. The government of Indonesia has set macroeconomic growth assumptions in 2020 state budget at 5.3%. This figure is higher than the economic growth target in the 2019 state budget of 5.2%. Can Indonesia achieve such high growth target? If we look at Indonesia's economic growth over the last 5 years, which was in the range of 5%, it needs extra hard efforts to achieve the growth target of 5.3%. The achievement of the 2019 economic growth target is increasingly difficult to achieve amid the situation of a trade war between China and the United States. One of the reasons for not achieving economic growth over the last 5 years is that consumption has only grown in the range of 5%. if Indonesia wants to achieve a growth target of 5.2% in 2019, it is necessary to make a strategy for assumption to grow high. One effort to increase consumption is to build a digital economy encouraging domestic consumption. The contribution of digital economy in 2018 reached around 8.5% of Indonesian gross domestic product GDP. The number is up 1.2% compared to 2017, whose contribution was only 7.3% of GDP. The prospect of Indonesian digital economic growth going forward is considered quite bright and could be one that contributes significantly to Indonesian economic growth. Therefore, it's important for the government to pay great attention to digital economic development. To build a digital economy and encourage domestic consumption, the government needs to accelerate the completion of internet infrastructure development. At present, internet network connectivity in Indonesia has exceeded 90%. However, the government still has other homework regarding the effective use of the internet connection. Thus, digital literacy is needed. Although 50% of Indonesian total population has used internet access, Indonesian digital literacy index is still relatively low. According to data of Skipper Developer published in 2019, Indonesian internet users are dominated by men as many as 52.5%, while women are only 47.5%. The data also states that 65% or around 86.3 million internet users are in Java. This means that there is a digital gap between Java and outside Java. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Listener, here is Today in History. Our regular program, Today in History, starts from an event on August 29, 1945, the anniversary of Indonesian House of Representatives. A day after proclamation of Indonesian Independence Day on August 18, 1945, Indonesian Independence Preparatory Committee determined the 1945 Constitution of the Republic of Indonesia. Starting from the time, the implementation of the state is based on provisions of the Constitution 1945. In accordance with transitional rules, on August 29, 1945, Central Indonesian National Committee with 137 members was established. The committee was recognized as candidates of Legislative Council in Indonesia. Then, August 29, 1945, was determined as the day of House of Representatives of Republic of Indonesia. The next event is that in 1949, Soviet Union conducted nuclear bomb tests. On August 29, 1949, Soviet Union conducted secretly the first nuclear bomb test. Since that time, the nuclear bomb was not only dominated by the United States of America. Balance which occur in competition of nuclear weapon between the United States of America and Russia was named as terrible equality. Then the United States of America and Soviet Union entered into propaganda war. The war was called the Cold War. The war which took place between West and East Bloc lasted until Soviet Union dismissed in 1991. The last event is that in 2005, Katrina hurricane happened. Katrina hurricane became one of the deadliest natural disasters in the history of United States of America. Hit by Katrina on August 29, 2005, most of the U.S. states from Louisiana until Florida Panhandle were devastated. Louisiana and Mississippi became the worst. 80% of New Orleans City was covered by flooding after flood protection embankments collapsed. Thousands of buildings were badly damaged and the death toll reached 1,800 people. 1 million people had to be evacuated. Well, listener, that's Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Baju ini Indonesia, HP ini buatan Indonesia, televisi Indonesia, semuanya serba Indonesia. Sepedaku Indonesia, pesawatku buatan Indonesia, kapal laut Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's edition of My Indonesia entitled Ministry of Environment and Forestry Immediately Studies the New Capital's Land. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry is going to immediately carry out a comprehensive study of the strategic environment for the prospective New Capital's region located between Penajam Pasar Utara Regency and Kutai Kartanegara Regency in East Kalimantan Province. That was affirmed by Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya, at Bogor Presidential Palace in West Java on Tuesday, August 27. The relocation of the capital is also targeting the improvement of the Bukit Soeharto Grand Forest Park, or Tahura, and conservation areas. Minister Siti Nurbaya further said that there is a unique ecosystem in East Kalimantan, Balikpapan Bay, that still has a mangrove forest. She views that by holding good management, the animals and their habitats are well maintained. Thus, she is about to soon speak with environmental organizations and several environmental figures to develop a terms of reference. She added that it takes 2 months to complete the environmental study. In regard to some plots of the land to be used as production forest, Minister Siti Nurbaya explained that this does not violate the existing regulations. Previously, on Monday, August 26, Governor of East Kalimantan, Isra Nur, explained that some of the land for the new capital is located in the Bukit Soeharto Forest Park. Some land in the east is still in the stages of production forest. In this regard, Minister Siti Nurbaya pointed out that based on Law No. 41-1999, stating that the allocation of forest use and utilization is determined by the government. In Article 19 of the law, the designation of function of forest areas are determined by the government based on the result of integrated research. That was My Indonesia.
Lihatlah kawan, bulan masih bersinar.
you are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you to Karao Gorontalo special clothes. Next October, one of 100 calendar events of Tourism Ministry entitled Karao Enchantment Festival will be held in Gorontalo. On the event, there will be performed a parade where people wearing Karao clothes, embroidery parade, Karao photograph competition, and Karao motif competition. In accordance with the name, the festival aims to popularize Karao clothes widely to public. Karao is a typical embroidery clothes of Gorontalo. The name of the Gorontalo traditional clothes is actually taken from the word karao, means embroidery by hand. The traditional cloth handicraft has existed since the 17th century during the kingdom era of Gorontalo. Earlier, the karao handicraft was made by Gorontalo people, especially women, for their own necessity. But due to its uniqueness and beauty, many people love karao cloth, so the cloth is currently merchantability, either in the form of cloth or ready-to-wear cloth. Its price is also varies. For women's cloth and shirt, it sold 125,000 rupiah until 250,000 rupiah. While for men's cloth, the price is 400,000 rupiah, 150,000 rupiah for casual suit, and 100,000 rupiah until 150,000 rupiah for shirt. Besides being made for various kinds of clothes, karao can also be used for making various kinds of craft, which are decorated with embroidery, such as bag, handkerchief, and many others. Karao cloth has typical embroidery with various colors of interesting ornaments. The making process of the embroidery of karao is not easy. Laude M. Arif Akbar, Acting Manager of Development of Small Medium Enterprises, Representative Office of Bank Indonesia of Gorontalo Province, when being interviewed at Voice of Indonesia Studio, explained that there are two steps of process to produce karao cloth.
Ada lima proses. Jadi yang pertama kita mendesain.
There are two manufacturing processes.
Yang kedua,
firstly,
kita
making the karao design.
Jadi kain,
secondly,
kain
cut
baju,
the cloth on the yarn pack.
Kita cabut
then pull the threads one by one until forming a hollow pattern.
Okay.
After that, put in other new threads according to the design. Then tied and embroidered. Cloth is complete. There are a lot of embroidery motifs of karao cloth, such as tulip, rose, and butterfly. A piece of karao embroidery can be completed for 1 week until 1 month, even more, depending on type of the cloth, threads, and motifs. The best quality of karao, which is made by using golden threads with complicated motifs, takes more long time. Listener, That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Dunia belum berakhir, bila kau putuskan aku. Masih banyak teman-temanku di sini menemaniku. Dunia belum berakhir, bila kau putuskan aku. Wajahku juga
Nerd, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miss Seleni. In today's edition, we present you information on Grab Andong. Andong is horse-drawn carriage. This transportation can be found in Yogyakarta province. A lot of tourists in Yogyakarta get on this traditional mode of transportation to go around the city. Interestingly, they do not need to bargain anymore for the transport fee or the tariff, because there is online application to order andong in Yogyakarta. It is Grab Andong. This traditional transportation service with application base was officially launched by Tourism Minister Arief Yahya along with Governor of Yogyakarta, Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X on Friday. Minister Arief Yahya appreciated the Grab's initiative, which is a follow-up of partnership to support Wonderful Indonesia in improving the icon of local transportation, which can give new experience for tourists. He also hopes there will be more tourists who support Grab Andong. Governor Sri Sultan said that Yogyakarta offers not only the beauty of tourism destination, but also the uniqueness of local transportation mode. The existence of Grab Andong can make tourists more comfortable to visit Yogyakarta. Currently, there are 500 units of Andong which are spread out in Malioboro, Yogyakarta. In the first phase of Grab Andong, there are 26 units which are registered for the initial project. Grab plans to add around 200 partnerships for Grab Andong within the next 6 months. Most of the income obtained from Grab Andong will be handed over to Yogyakarta Andong Association to support horse treatment program of Veterinary Medicine Faculty of Gajah Mada University. Grab Andong tariff is 150,000 rupiah per hour, with the route surrounding Malioboro, Alun-Alun Kidul, Malioboro. Over time fee has been counted if tourists rent more than 1 hour. It is 1,250 rupiah per minute. That was our segment for today, Miss Seleni. Thanks for listening.
Segala perbedaan yang kini sedang kita hadapi, saling menyalahkan itu bukan jalan terbaik. Bukankah setiap masalah pasti bisa dibicarakan? Beda itu wajar, asal jangan saling menyakiti. Genggam tanganku, bawaku ke keadaan yang lebih indah. Ku ada di sana, walau berbeda, kita bersama merasakan damai. Bukankah setiap pasti bisa dibicarakan? Beda itu wajar, asal jangan saling menyakiti. Genggam tanganku, bawaku ke keadaan yang lebih. Kita bersama.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a song, Mutiara dari Selatan, by Andi Meriam Matalata. The beautiful singer with original name Andi Siti Meriam Nurul Kusumawardani, popularly with a nickname Mutiara dari Selatan, means pearl from the south. The name was given by Iskandar, a composer and musician, who composed the song Mutiara dari Selatan especially to Andi Meriam. Besides the song composer and producer of Andi Meriam's album, Iskandar also coached her to be a good singer. Andi Meriam Matalata began to enter the music industry of the country as a professional singer since she released the song Mutiara dari Selatan. Let's listen to the song Mutiara dari Selatan by Andi Meriam Matalata. Enjoy the song.
Pandang mata.
Voice of Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
From Indonesia to the world. campur dan menyatu di dalam bayangan cintamu. Ragu, ku jabat tanganmu dan kau bisikkan.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.